on, Norsterkenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 89 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, January 17th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about losing streaks, midseason recap, and all-star game shenanigans. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening.
How was your guys' 2 days apart here between our last podcast and this podcast?
I missed you guys.
You did? You?
Yeah, but I was frozen in place.
I think we all were, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got cold. Very cold.
It's good ice-making weather, though, isn't it?
It is.
Not good ice hockey outdoor watching.
Not watching. Playing. Playing might be a little cold, even.
I think I'd like to experiment making ice in warmer climates.
Bettman's already ahead of you. A step ahead of you on that one.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll find some new science that will... allow for quick freezing or something like that. I don't know. Just bring me somewhere warm.
Calgon, take me away.
Yes.
Well, you know, before we get too far into things here, just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We cover the games and we chit chat and we complain about everything, basically. So, you know, speaking of complaining about stuff, let's get into the week at hand here.
Well, if we have to, we'll get into the, I don't know. I don't even know what you want to call this, you know. I mean, basically in back-to-back games this week, the Wild were shut out.
First shutout of the season.
And second.
In consecutive games, even.
Yep.
End days.
Yep. So their losing streak is continuing. Four games now. They've been skating 7D, though.
Yeah, last night they skated 7D. This Hollow was a healthy scratch.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
And they weren't skating one of the defensemen as a forward, so that means they were cycling forward. They basically had a jumble of line combinations to make up for that.
We did see Riley on the power play, though, so you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with...
And we're still... We still have gone 0 for 21 in the last 10 games in power plays, so.
That's awesome.
So 2015 called.
Yeah.
2014 called.
He's not exactly helping here.
No. Yeah.
He got sent back down.
Yeah. Things are not looking very good. I mean, it's a very convenient, person for Yo to put in the doghouse there.
It is. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, basically during January, the Wild have been averaging a goal and a quarter a game, 1.25 goals per game in January. Are you going to win games that way, scoring those goals?
And it's actually been really low. I think it's even lower if you don't include empty net goals.
Yeah.
It has not been good for them.
Yes.
I don't know, and the thing is, you can't even attribute it to a couple lines underperforming. No one's been scoring. I mean, when you're scoring a goal and a quarter per game, you're not doing well.
No.
It goes beyond one line performing poorly.
What do you guys think the cause is of the scoring drill? Why can't we seem to get the puck in the net?
Bad luck.
Puck luck.
I mean, there's been pipes being hit, but, you know, obviously the Wild are where opposing goalies come to get hot.
Yeah, or rookie goalies come to get their shutouts.
Or backups come and play like Patrick Waugh or Martin Brodeur.
Maybe we're just running into brick walls.
Right. Yeah. That's totally plausible.
I think a big part of it is the power play.
Power play has been terrible.
I mean, we should be getting, you know, at least a goal a game from power play.
Right, right.
I mean, that should be almost a given. And, you know, that's not happening right now. The power play is looking absolutely dreadful. And I think, you know, before you even start looking at getting more 5-on-5 goals, you should start looking at getting some of those 5-on-4s.
Right. And, well, actually, that makes me want to ask a good question is, does Brunette have, like, a limited shelf life now? I mean, he at what point is his job going to be online here? Because this is now 2 years in a row where the Wild have had extended streaks of not scoring on the power play. And I don't think we've ever experienced this from this Wild team in franchise history, streaks like this.
I mean, I'm sure you could put some of the blame to him, but in the end, the one who's going to make the call is going to be Yo. And so really,
but
it might be the whole coaching staff that gets the overhaul, yeah, you know? If we're, you know, running into a, you know, basically like we're not achieving anything more, you know, if they're not attaining any higher goals, they're just maintaining a level, I don't think that's acceptable in this state right now. So
not acceptable in the league. I mean, it's not going to get you anywhere.
Nope.
But at what point is Yo and staff, at what point are they actually, are their jobs on the line? Is it going to be not until the end of the season? And if we're missing out on a playoff spot or getting knocked out in the first round, or because right now the Wild, if you know, if things were to end today, they'd be in the playoffs, and
we're gonna be playing Chicago first round or second round.
First round at this point.
Yeah, so we'd make it to the playoffs,
right?
Yeah, I don't think that they're looking to make any, you know, mid-season moves or anything like that. The team isn't in you know, dire straits like that they need to, you know, make a drastic change to the team. That would just basically crush the team probably for the rest of the year. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, and you know, I don't know what it's going to take, because at some point things need to change. You know, this the same thing is happening year after year now with Yo and his team and his coaching staff. And, you know, watching the post-game interviews, everyone's talking about how they don't have confidence right now. And is that the leadership, the veteran leadership? Is that the coach? If there's no confidence, that is not a good spot to be in.
So
at this point in the year.
So essentially what we need is a fourth goalie to come in to save the season.
Yeah. I mean,
Briz.
We need Briz back. Bring Briz back.
We are about the 1 year anniversary of
I think we just passed it.
Of bringing in Dubnyk. So
yeah.
Can we travel with four goalies and scratch two of them?
Why not just have another one, you know? I mean, I think
Briz, where you at, man?
Although, you know, I can't be mad at Dubnyk. I mean, he's playing out of his mind in my opinion. I mean, throughout the year, I think that he's kept the Wild in a lot of games.
Right.
With as little scoring as the Wild do, I mean, we know they're not an offensive powerhouse, but
at one point in the season, we were in the top third of the league in scoring.
Yeah.
So this has like been a crazy drought here, and there's one thing if you're trying to find silver linings right now with this team, they're not giving up a ton of goals, yeah, even strength goals, and you know, like even last night they only gave up two goals. That was a winnable game until late, and
three,
but one was an empty net.
One was an empty net.
Yeah, you know, so it
and going into the third, it was 1-0. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so they haven't been like keeping things out of reach, and they haven't been getting just, you know, plastered by teams. So they've been keeping it in check, but they're just not scoring. And
I mean, the problem with that is it harkens back to the Lemaire days, where it's low scoring games. Except for we're not playing the trap system like Lemaire, so we're not going to be nearly as as defensive minded.
Sure, but we're getting defensive results though, regardless of that.
True.
The guys that we're paying a lot of money to be scoring are not scoring right now. I mean, it was really what it comes down to. I don't know if Vanek's hurt, but his game is all kind of messed up right now.
Well,
he's not scoring at all.
What he's hurt with is he's got Pominville on his line right now. So,
and Pominville's another one. Right. I mean, I feel like we've beat that horse dead, but you know he's getting paid a lot of money, and we've got him for a little while longer here.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying maybe because other than that, Vanek has been. You know, he's been, I think, spectacular this season. He's had some flashy moments. He's had, you know, some great passes. He's, you know, setting people up. You know, he may not always, you know, cash in on all chances given.
Right.
But I think percentage-wise, he's doing better, actually, than a lot of other people on the team.
So. Well, and another guy that's struggling and is getting top line minutes is Granlund. He hasn't really been doing anything yet. He's got one even strength goal in the last month and change. Mm-hmm. He's not doing well either. There's plenty of blame to go around.
Oh yeah.
And I think about Zach Parise is about the only one who shouldn't be getting blame at this point. But you know, we only got one Zach Parise.
Should we? He was sitting out, you know, how many games?
Yeah, it was his fault that James Neal's a total dirtbag.
Should we call him Glassjaw?
Right.
I'm not going. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Trashville. Trashville Purds.
Trash
Purds.
Yeah, they got our number this year, though.
They did.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of other people's numbers.
No, they don't, but yeah. They got ours, so yep. That's what, you know, and maybe that's the biggest disappointment over this four-game losing streak is that it was to teams that we should be beating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because, you know, Winnipeg.
Winnipeg's at the bottom of the division.
Philly.
Philly is in the East.
And is it Columbus?
Think so.
They were back there somewhere.
You know, yeah, all teams that should have easily been taken care of, and it looked ugly. It was
Sabres.
Yeah. That was a def. We knew that was a loss going into it. Hopefully, everybody understands or hears my sarcasm.
What's the thing that's been going around? Your team's on a losing streak, just sending the wild.
Yep, it seems to be working. You know, hopefully they can turn things around here.
Oh, that's what it is. It's the Minnesota Nice. We don't see. They're like what's this next generation of kids called?
Millennials.
They're like the, you know, taking care of the millennial thing so everybody can feel like a winner.
Ooh. Oh, I can see. They're enabling.
Yeah.
I got it.
They don't want people to feel left out and, you know.
Or is that just Minnesota Nice?
Yeah. Could be that.
Yeah.
So you're saying Minnesotans are a bunch of millennials?
Or could just be we're just losers. And
Minnesota Nice really isn't nice. It's just kind of...
Wait a minute. We got the Vikings. Oh. We got the Timber... Oh.
We got the Lynx.
Hey. Did they lose in the championship the last year?
Yeah, they've only won like 3 out of 4 past years. So, I mean, that's no good. Losers. Something like that. They got the Twins. Losers.
Who?
The Twins.
The Joe Mauers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they changed. They sold their name a long time
ago. It's only been a quarter of a century since they've won a championship.
It will be this year.
Yep.
Hey, but if you look at things, was it Kansas City? They won last in what? 84?
85. Yep.
So we should, you know, within the next year or two here, we should be seeing a World Series out of the Twins, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah, but we're here to talk hockey anyways.
We did
yeah.
get an outdoor game, so anything is possible.
Hey.
Things are looking up for us.
Yeah.
Speaking of looking up, you know, we're about the midpoint of the season, right? And with that, you know, I thought it'd be kind of fun to look at, you know, who we thought some of our better players are. If we were electing or voting on team-centric NHL awards, who would your picks be? And we might as well start off with the big one, MVP, the Hart Trophy.
I think that's a no-brainer.
Who is that?
Disagree.
Zach Parise.
Okay.
Okay.
That's your... Okay. Well, Jive, I'm guessing you disagree.
I do. Mine is actually a toss-up right now at this point between Vanek and Koivu, actually. Both maybe not putting the same amount of goals in the net as Parise, but... I think that both of them are making things happen. And if I had to go with the overall MVP, I would probably lean towards Koivu for his good play in the defensive zone. So,
fair. That's very actually very valid players and very valid points.
Yeah. And I can't argue with Koivu because he has put up points this year and he has been pretty damn valuable. But I still have to agree with Kenny. Parise has just been too important to this team, because he's been the guy who scores and has been scoring.
They've won without him.
They have won without him. But you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything either. It's all dependent on who they're playing when he's out, and you know, you can make the argument that,
what, because they were playing the Sabres? Oh. Because they were playing the Blue Jackets? Oh.
You can make the same argument that Kemper is more valuable than Dubnyk because the Wild lost these last four games and Kemper wasn't skating. So,
hey,
I'm just saying, you could kind of twist it any way you want. I still think Parise is, you know, I think he's obviously a valuable player on this team. There's a reason he's got an A on his chest.
And I think it's too easy of a call to make.
That's fair enough. I'll give you that. I remember having a discussion with someone a few years back, and we were talking about our favorite players of past. Particularly, we were talking about the Twins, and he said his favorite player was Kirby Puckett. And I was like, well, that's like having your favorite team is the Yankees. You know, mm-hmm. it's too easy, and... So second award, we'll go with Selke. That is for the best defensive forward.
This one I would probably go with Koivu on. I think he's always been a fairly two-way center,
sure.
More so defensive-minded. And, yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Koivu on this one.
Enough. For me, I'm actually going to have to lean towards Charlie Coyle on this one. I mean, he's contributed a little bit offensively this year. You know, he's been kind of streaky, but as far as in the defensive zone, I mean, I think that he's definitely proven to be a solid player there. So,
Well, and I doubt anyone's going to really agree with me on this one, but I'm going to go with Eric Hall, actually. He's a +3 despite playing on a terrible line or terrible lines, and he's played mostly, seems like, PK minutes.
Right.
I think he's been actually a very solid defensive forward, even though I don't think that's really his, you know, that's not his wheelhouse, but he's done well despite spending most of the season in Yo's doghouse.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem why we haven't seen better results from him. Even some more offensive breakout is just because of that. I mean, with who he's been, you know, line mates with and the roles that he has been playing. And I mean, it's too bad because I mean, I we're starting to beat a dead horse with Holla, but I think he's a way better player than what he's showing with the Wild right now, just because of the situations he's been put in.
Yeah, I nobody can disagree with that. I mean, he's not being put in the place to, you know, excel.
Right, right. Well, and the game against the Jets, he made a mistake that led to a breakaway, which led to a goal. He didn't cause Wheeler to throw a knuckle puck at Dubnyk, so I don't know how you can really pin that on Holla, but Holla only skated 8 minutes that game and then healthy scratch the next game. So he's not getting the benefit of the doubt.
I see Holla right now. Remember that game Chutes and Ladders where Holla's got to climb up to like five floors and then he always gets the big slide that brings him right back down with one little mistake.
Oh yeah. And I think that it has to do with Yo, he doesn't trust kids. He doesn't
trust kids that weren't in his system coming up.
Yeah, maybe that's, I mean, if that's Suter that makes a mistake, and Suter makes plenty of mistakes, made a ton of mistakes last night, and that leads to a goal, there's no way that Suter's getting healthy scratched, you know, tomorrow.
No, not at all.
But if you're under the age of, 22 or, 24, we'll say 24, all bets are off on whether or not you're skating tomorrow. You know, you cannot make a mistake at all if you're under a certain age under your system.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox there. Norris Award, best defenseman.
Ooh. I think, man, even though it was a bad game last night, no, I think I'm going to have to go with Scandella.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pick Spurgeon for my
pick. That's who I was thinking was Spurgeon. He had a pretty bad game last night against Nashville.
Who didn't?
Well.
Right.
As far as defense go, the only defensive pairs that were out there for all three goals were Spurgeon and Suter.
Yeah. I don't know. He's having a pretty strong season, in my opinion. Especially, considering his size. I mean, I think he definitely makes a big impact for a little guy.
Right. So. Well, and I'm going to pick the obvious one. I'm going with Suter on this. He leads defensemen in points by a wide margin.
Okay.
I think he could, skate a few less minutes, but that's not, I don't see that's how that's on him. That's on Yo. I think he'd actually probably be more effective if he skated less, but I think it's hard to pick against him, so at least for that award. Next one, Vezina, top goalie. Do you go with Kemper or do you go Dubnyk? Kemper's had a good run even in limited play here. Is that enough, though, to overcome Dubnyk as the pick?
I think Kemper's sitting in that same or in the adjacent doghouse as Holla, where one small mistake and all of a sudden he's put in the back again. Which, to be fair, Dubnyk is the number one goalie.
Dubnyk's getting number one money. You're going to give him number one games.
They both have four overtime losses. If you look at shutouts, Dubnyk's got four in 36 games started. Kemper's got one in 9 games started. Dubnyk does have 6 penalty minutes too. I'm gonna go with Kemper.
The only thing I can say about the Vezina is that it's obviously not Backstrom. Dubnyk, I mean, he's continued right on where he left off last year. He's doing great. What, 9.92 something?
9.21.
Save percentage.
Kemper's in at 9.23.
Yeah.
I mean, it's close.
It is. Kemper, obviously, you know, you've already touched on that. He hasn't, you know, had the maybe as many chances, but, you know, I mean, both goalies are performing well. We're getting shutouts out of them. We're getting a solid performance from both when they are in. I mean, obviously everybody has an off night, but so yeah, I can't make that call right now, but I mean, obviously we would probably have to go with Dubnyk because he's seen more action.
Right, and I tend to agree. I think Kemper's played very well in the limited action he's seen, but it's hard to argue with Dubnyk and the time spent. Their numbers are pretty. They're
almost identical.
But Dubnyk's played almost four times as much.
Well, that's about the only difference between them.
Yep.
And if you scaled up Kemper's numbers, they're gonna be almost. They're both of them are gonna look almost like the same goalie.
Okay. We'll make this last. We're going to skip the Calder because we haven't had enough rookie skaters. So we'll end on Masterton, comeback player.
Vanek. I'm going with Vanek. With how he looked last year to how he looks this year. You know, a little slumpy right now, but that's my call.
But what determines a comeback player? I mean, is it somebody who... You know,
it's up to the discretion of the voter. So if you're voting, what are you picking?
If I'm voting?
Yep.
I would have to agree with Kenny then. I mean, I think that his game has taken a full, you know, 180 turn. And I mean, he's a contributor. I mean, he ended last year. I don't think his stat line was as bad as it felt.
Well, and his second half was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
He started off real cold.
Yeah.
And he turned it up a little bit at the end of the year last year.
Yeah. So him, or I could also throw it up. I think that Koivu has kind of actually stepped up as like not a liability.
No, he that's a very good point. You know, he's on pace for probably one of the best seasons of his career right now. And, you know, I think between the two of you, I think you've got the two top candidates would be Koivu or Vanek. Vanek's slump here is kind of hurting his chances a little bit. Koivu, I mean, he's on pace for almost 20 goals, and he hasn't done that since 2009, 2010. You know, that's pretty huge for someone that we've pretty much ripped apart the last couple of years here because he hasn't really contributed. So,
All right. So the drama continues with John Scott and the All-Star Game in the NHL. I thought this was when we first talked about John Scott getting into the NHL. I thought this was going to be like a one-off, like, haha, John Scott's getting into the All-Star Game. Cool, ex-Wild player. And every week it seems like it's escalated just a bit more and a bit more.
As the NHL turns.
The world of Bettman. So, you know, we all know the fans voted him in. He got traded, sent to the AHL, and apparently is no longer eligible to play in the All-Star Game. This is after his family was planning a vacation.
Is that actually official? That he's no longer eligible?
So. That's where it's sitting at right now.
I thought that they... I don't think the NHL's actually said anything. I think it's a lot of speculation that...
Well, he's been traded.
Yep.
And Montreal already has P.K. Subban going. And
so he can't play for Montreal. Yeah. But in 2003, help me out here, Aaron. Jive. Sandy's... Ozolinch. In 2003 was traded from Florida to Anaheim before the All-Star Game and still played for Florida as his team that he was supposed to represent.
But it was also a little bit different format back then, too, was it not?
Well, sure, but the format changes every 2 years, so it was still a fan voted in.
Right, but now you've got... these, you know, 3-on-3 teams, and it's one person from
each the format shouldn't team, matter. Right? I mean, it's the fact that he was still traded to another team before the All-Star game and played for the team that he was supposed to play for.
Okay.
I mean, we're going from Florida to Anaheim, so we're talking two completely different divisions at that, or conferences right. at that point, too.
Yeah.
And in 90, Bernie Nicholas was traded from...
Bernie Nichols?
No, there's a Nichols, yes. Was traded from L.A. Kings to the New York Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he still played for the Kings.
He played for the Kings, okay.
It's not like the NHL has not allowed this before.
Right.
Now, it's also...
Do they want to allow this, though?
Well, you know, it is rumored that both Arizona and the NHL had asked Scott to step down from mm-hmm. playing in the All-Star game. And he was like, no, I'm going now.
Right.
And he was already playing in the AHL before this trade. So I don't think him playing in the AHL was really going to hamper that, because the NHL was already saying that he was going to be the captain, regardless of the fact that he was actually playing in the AHL at that time.
And really, I mean, the fan base has spoken, whether it was, you know, in sarcasm or, you know, whether that's what people actually wanted to vote for. And that is what happened. And really, I think if the league doesn't respect that, that sends a message to your fans then that
they don't care what your opinion is.
Yeah, we really don't care what you say.
I think we already know that sure. That's how the NHL feels, right?
Well, right.
I think we knew that before this whole fiasco. This is just, you know, crossing I's and dotting T's
right.
You know.
Well, but this is like more of a blatant smack in the face, though.
It's a smack in the face of the fans and the John right. Scott, too.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, you know, had his team won. You know, it's a nice little bonus pay for him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got two kids and twins on the way.
Right. I think I heard that his wife is actually due
on the
All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So.
So, I mean, should they allow him to play?
I think at this point, yeah. I mean, the vote was cast. That's how they agreed to do things.
The NHL's already changed their rules for next year
so
that this won't happen again.
Right.
How about you just sit there, admit you made a mistake by allowing people to vote on any player and let him skate this year and move on instead of this weird collusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because now it's a whole big conspiracy thing, and, you know, maybe not even just a conspiracy. I mean, it's probably what's going on.
And it's pretty obvious Montreal didn't want John Scott. Otherwise, they could have had him for free because he was on waivers.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so that's what makes this whole thing stink of collusion and conspiracy, is that as a trade, it makes no sense, zero sense.
How about that on your GM's resume? Yeah. I pulled over an all-star off of waivers.
Yeah, to make it look a little more legit, I traded for that all-star.
Right.
You know, it is just so silly. And, you know, he should be playing. If anything, the NHL is just cementing the fact that people aren't going to watch. I think John Scott was one of the few reasons people may have watched the game.
Yep.
And if he ends up, he doesn't skate. Well, which I don't think the NHL has actually said that he won't, but that's kind of the assumption.
That's the other thing, is it kind of became kind of one of those feel-good stories, you know?
Right.
You know, the guy who...
And NHL can't have
who,
that, though.
Right. The guy who didn't think he'd ever play there, you know, in that All-Star game, and here he is getting a shot at it, right?
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
But... maybe all we have is the season number 2 of Making a Murderer. You know?
Whoa, it went kind of dark there.
Well, you guys got to check that series.
So are you saying that Scott's going to go after Bettman?
Hockey fans are special.
Now, see, I think a lot of people would be on his side there.
Yeah. I think it'd be tough finding a jury to.
Well, now that Scott's in Montreal, you just gotta wait till Bettman's in Canada, and there's gonna be zero witnesses.
Hey,
I'm not putting out a bounty or anything like that. I'm just saying, Canadians know hockey. You know.
Yeah.
Bettman may not be safe.
He got stepped on by a moose walking down the street.
he got stepped on at some point.
Actually, that is a le moose.
Le moose.
In Montreal.
It's in Montreal, yeah.
Ah, oui, oui.
Frog, frog.
So, okay, how would you guys react if your employer gave you, like, a promotion with a nice bonus attached to it, and then say, we're just going to disband your department, so you're going to go back and work for these other guys at the same thing, and you don't get your promotion anymore?
That happens all the time, actually, but it doesn't mean it's good, but it does happen all the time.
Okay, so how would you react, though?
I go find a different job, but, you know, John Scott doesn't have that option, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part of it. I'm pretty sure that they get some sort of a bonus for.
If the team wins.
Playing in the All-Star game.
I think they get one just for playing in it,
right,
too. Yeah. I think they might get a bigger bonus.
If the team wins.
Right.
Yeah. Plus, just to say that you'd done that.
Right.
Yeah, T-shirts made up.
That's something I want to tell my grandchildren.
That you played in the All-Star game?
Yes.
Well, you could just tell them that anyways.
Right. They won't be fact-checking because they can't read.
Because they can't read. Oh, you don't have to be able to read. Just say, okay, Google.
They can't even talk.
Not yet. Just wait till they do start talking back. So anyways, well, should we move on to Twitter talk?
Twitter talk.
So our first question of the week comes in from Felska. It's State of Hockey. He asks, so you own the Minnesota Wild. You're not happy. You decide to shake things up. What do you do? Trades? Let the axes fall? Just sit around and collect the profits?
If I'm the owner, I'm clutching profits because why not? I mean, I won't move the team because I ain't Norm Green, but heck, man. That's like free money right there.
Just collecting profits.
Yeah.
If you're the owner.
And I let GM Chuck Fletcher do what he needs to do because I don't want to be a meddling owner.
Which I don't think Leopold is.
No.
I think that's his faith is in GM Chuck Fletcher.
I think
which, yeah. Are we the only ones that call our GM GM Chuck Fletcher?
I don't know.
Or like
but we do call him GM Chuck Fletcher.
It's not just Chuck Fletcher, it's GM Chuck Fletcher.
Yes.
Well, if he wasn't GM Chuck Fletcher, he'd just be Chuck Fletcher. It makes sense to me.
GM Chuck Fletcher, MD Esquire.
So it should be Chuck Fletcher GM.
No, well, GM, no. Chuck
GM
Chuck
GM
Fletcher.
GM Chuck Fletcher.
Yeah. Chuck Fletcher GM just doesn't make any sense.
You think his business cards, rather than saying like, do you think instead of saying like Mr. Chuck Fletcher or Charles Fletcher?
Probably it says Chuck Norris.
It says GM Chuck Fletcher, and then underneath it says General Manager.
Yes.
GM Chuck Fletcher GM?
No, GM Chuck Fletcher and then General Manager.
No.
GM Chuck Fletcher, GM.
No, not GM, General Manager.
General Manager Chuck Fletcher?
GM.
GM?
GM.
So, similar question that also came in from Mini Puck 2027, also known as the State of Hockey.
Not too confusing at all.
No, no, not at all.
What is the number one change you would make right now as coach or GM? So not as the owner, but as if you're the coach or the GM, what would you guys do?
I would make sure my business card said GM Chuck Fletcher.
GM Chuck Fletcher. So you're saying that you'd be probably prepping your resume because you know you're on your way out the door?
No.
Oh.
No, I would make sure they're embossed so my position was stable. Like, sorry, man, I just got 1,000 of these.
I got 1,000 of these business cards.
You got to wait till I hand them out.
You're stuck with me.
I wonder if when he's like at a wedding, he goes, and he's like introducing himself, he goes, hello, my name is GM Chuck Fletcher.
That's what I was saying. Rather than have a mister, it's GM.
But he does it outside of hockey.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, his sons call him GM Chuck Fletcher.
Hey, GM Dad.
GM Dad.
GM Dad. It's like what is that TV show, Major Dad?
Right.
Instead of Major Dad, it's GM Dad. I would leave everything now. Let the coaching staff try to get their stuff figured out. I think, you know, you start doing major changes right now, it's going to maybe shake things up the wrong way.
Well, I guess myself.
Slumps happen.
Myself personally, as a if I was the coach, what I would be looking to do is, obviously we've talked it to death, but the power play is definitely lacking. But something needs to change as far as the chemistry of the lines in order to make more offense. Defensively, I think that the team is playing fairly solid, but offensively, I would want to make some changes to my lines to see if I could get some more chemistry. And I guess I would go a little bit further in the line juggling than what I've seen Yo currently do. I would look to, you know, maybe move up Ahala, who wouldn't probably be in my doghouse, but
right,
you know, I would probably.
But he's not screwing your wife.
That's true. I'd probably try to move him up. Zucker gets get a little bit more speed going up front there. I don't know. I guess I understand that, you know, you're paying these guys and you expect them to perform. If that's not what's happening, though, you got to make changes. Whatever's going to make the team work the best, whether or not a guy is making $5 million a year or not, he might have to sit on my third or fourth line.
Well, and you know, I think with what I'm doing is I'm getting rid of Brunette. This is 2 years in a row now. We've had extended slumps on the power play. What is he doing? I don't know at this point.
We already have more coaches on the bench than most teams.
Right. We don't need him. I don't know what he's contributing at this point because the power play is not doing anything. And this is now 2 years in a row we've gone through this.
And it didn't start off this way.
We're in that slump right now. And it's 2 years in a row. It's an easy call. It's a wake-up call to the players, too, without totally gutting your, you know, coaching staff mid-season. It's a wake-up call that you need to play better or, you know, people that you're working with are going to lose their jobs because of your play. Maybe that's a wake-up call they need, you know?
Maybe it wouldn't be a wake-up call to the players. Maybe a better wake-up call to the players would be to see somebody go sit down on the third or fourth line and rot for a little bit because they're underperforming.
That kind of gets into our next question.
Yeah. Okay, so this comes in from Gabriella, and that's at wildestdreams_. Unusual choice of you going ending with the underscore, but okay. The Wild didn't go through with any trades. Do they have any pieces to be able to – do they already have the pieces to be able to win?
Pieces are there, I think. And like Jai was saying, I think they're just not in the right order right now. And you know, doing some different line combinations and maybe moving some of those second line guys down to, you know, line three or line four just to get some other guys up might be the answer.
And I guess from my point of view, I don't think that all pieces are in place. See, she was throwing out a tongue twister there. That's not fair. I don't know that we've got all pieces in place. I know we've, you know, talked about like the strengths of some of those Chicago teams that went on to be championship teams, and you look through each line and each, you know, level, you got players contributing on all levels there, both defensively and offensively. And I just don't think that we have that right now. So,
I just want to add that the screen cut off. Gabriella's Twitter handle is actually at wildestdreams_3. As far as the question, though, I don't know that we've got all the pieces. I don't feel I've always not felt well with Yo's choice to have that grinder possession line as the fourth line, and invariably they can never score. And I think for a team to be successful, you need to have four lines that can at least threaten to score. And I don't think that a line with Porter, Stoll, and Carter is going to put up many points at all. And
I agree. But what I have been really impressed with Stoll coming to the team is his face-offs. It's almost a guaranteed win when he's in there, it almost seems like. I feel like he's been very, very good in the face-off dot. So.
Well, and, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because we did just have I just posted on, you know, yesterday on 3inthebox.com, our first blog post. And I basically was looking at Halla and seeing how good the Wild record was when Halla's on the ice. And the Wild actually plays better with Hall on the ice. Conversely, though, the Wild plays much poorer when Stoll's on the ice, to a huge degree. You can go check that out at 3inthebox.com. I've lay out all the numbers, so it's a quick read, but it's something that's a little more than just us talking at you. We can actually like write sometimes.
Well, you can.
I'll do what I can.
It's,
you know,
graphy.
Oh.
Yeah. It's charty. So, yeah.
So, very similar vein from Tom Minor. That's Tom H. Minor, M-I-N-O-R. If certain players, veterans struggle, why not healthy scratch, send down and bring someone up from Iowa to send the message? I'm going to just start off saying I don't think we have much from Iowa to bring up right now.
Right, that's the first one, and I would totally agree. We don't have players in Iowa.
It's not like, you know, years past where we had guys that were itching to come up that could actually play.
Right. But with that, Pominville, scratch him.
I 100% agree.
You know, you don't need to scratch him, because I understand you don't want to pay that kind of money to have a guy scratched.
Do you want to pay that type of money to not get any production?
Right. I mean, it's more so, you know, sending a message. Apparently, Yo has no problem sending messages to Halla week in and week out. Maybe that's just reinforcing Yo that, oh, if I scratch him, he's not going to learn anything, and so why would I scratch Pominville? But that's some sort of weird circular logic that doesn't really make sense. Yo's got to do. I think Yo would be foolish not to scratch some of these veterans if they're not playing well.
If nothing more, like you were talking when you were talking about Brunette, you know, in releasing a coach there, that's going to send a message, you know,
right,
that if you're not performing, you're not playing. I mean, those guys are all competitors out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're not going out there, you know, trying not to do their best, but, you know, sometimes you got to put in more hours.
Right.
So, and on to the next question, which comes in from Derek Felska at State of Hockey.
Hockey.
I don't know. I'm horrible at pronouncing that. Is Ryan Suter, is he trying to do too much out there? You think Yo will ever finally take a real step to reduce his ice time and his role? Like, maybe especially, like, on the power play?
I don't think Yo. Yo is a veteran guy, and he's not going to, you know, do that to his veterans. He's going to let his veterans play as much as they want, even if it's to the detriment of this team. I just don't see him doing anything about it. And so you better get used to seeing Ryan Suter skating as much as he wants, and that's it. That's my opinion, you know.
I don't know. I trying to do too much, maybe. I think with some of his ice time, he's limited to on how much he can do and still keep up. I mean, he's not getting any younger. And I think it's just going to keep degrading as the years go if he's, you know, sticking with 28 minutes a game. I mean, at the beginning of the season, we had three solid D-lines, and he was still playing a half a game. You know, why do that? Why burn out your guys and not roll all three lines, you know, fairly evenly or even close? So, we have three games all West Coast this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. Hey, look at that, another back-to-back. This time we have the Ducks on Wednesday. We get our buddies from NBC broadcasting this game again.
Woo-hoo!
Hopefully it won't be the Ducks feed.
Woo-hoo!
Thursday we're at the Kings, and then Saturday we have a... I don't know, would you call it a matinee game at 3 o'clock against the Sharks?
Yeah, why not?
You know, it's 1 o'clock their time, 3 o'clock our time.
Yeah, that's definitely matinee.
Yeah.
At least for them.
You know, us, we just, whatever, we just take it.
Hey, it's not a 9 o'clock or 9:30 game.
This is true.
It's not brunch. It's not dinner.
Linner game.
It's a Linner game.
Linner, chicken Linner.
We couldn't decide. So Aaron, what's the game?
Game of the week is going to be Wild at Sharks. Saying
that gave me a semi.
It's going to be all teams are playing very well right now, and the Wild are on the road, which they haven't necessarily played great on the road
or at home.
Or at home, but their home record is still better than their road record. But if you look at those teams, they're all about the same over the last 10. They're all right around 7 wins and 3 losses spread over, you know, overtime or not. But I'm thinking that the Sharks game is actually probably the most winnable for the Wild because the Sharks have such a poor record at home. Kings, I think, is going to be just too tough of a game. And I think the Kings will probably end up winning that game. But I think game of the week is going to go Wild at the Sharks. And if I'm picking a winner, I'm going to go pick with the Wild because I think that's going to be our one winnable game or the most solid chance of a win. And I'm going Wild winning 2-1.
Awesome. I think I'm also going to pick the Wild. Last time, you know, we played them, we shut them out in the Shark Tank. So I see another victory. I'm looking at a little bit more goals scored, though. I'm going with a 3-2. Still one goal game, just bumped up both sides. Jive?
Yeah, and I'm actually going to have to go the other way here. I don't see...
It's been working well for you this season.
Has it? I don't see the Wild making a turn yet and getting out of this slump that they're in. We have to wait until we get Yo out there on the ice. I know he's had some talks, but he hasn't gotten heated. Like, you know, we got to get something YouTube worthy out of Yo before things
it's
turn.
It's all staged from him.
So I'm going to go with the Sharks winning this one. The Wild will take it to OT, though, so it will be the OT loss for him at least. But I'm going to go with the Sharks winning this one 2-1.
Well, I mean, we've only seen one OT win.
Out of the Wild.
Out of the Wild. Right.
Okay. Well, I think we got a show here. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for Three in the Box, and again, that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y. And also my new Twitter handle, Nostrakenius.
Jive.
Yeah, you can check me out. I'm on about.me/HeyJive. Good night.
We get what? 12 minutes of a game and then it's over?